Heavenly Father, thank you for every blessing that we have as we put our trust in you and we look to you, Lord. Thank you for the joy and the peace that your Spirit gives us. Thank you, Lord, for the hope that we have in this world, the hope that we have also for the future life with you. God, thank you for the wonderful love and joy that we have as being your church and doing life together, Lord, giving the awesome privilege of making you known, of sharing the gospel with those who are yet to be saved, God, the wonderful joy that we have in strengthening our brothers and sisters around us, Lord. God, thank you for the wonderful blessing of your word. We ask that you would speak to our hearts, God. Help us to recognize and to embrace your love, which is pursuing us in the midst of our failings, God. Thank you for leading us by your Spirit, by strengthening us by your Spirit, by giving us eyes of faith that see you in a special way in your word. And we ask for that this morning, Lord, that you would help us to have those eyes of faith, to see what you want us to see, to understand your word by the power of your Spirit, God, and that it would not only change us, Lord, but that you would be exalted in our lives. We ask all these things in Jesus' name. Amen. This morning, we're looking at Romans 15. If you'd like to turn to Romans 15, we're going to look at specifically verse 13, and we have been in a series, I think this is week 8, I lose track sometimes, of Living the Saved Life, our sermon series, and we've been going through Romans chapter 12 through chapter 16, and I'm pretty sure this is our final week in this series, and I've titled the message today, The God of Hope, The God of Hope. So I'm going to start this morning's message with some kind of wishful thinking, hypothetical type of statements, just to intro the message today. So kind of wishful thinking, not entirely accurate, but I want to share some really good news with you, that everybody here this morning had a perfect morning, that they had a perfect day yesterday, that nobody had any stress. Nobody had any problems at all. Nobody had an unkind word spoken to them. Nobody had any troubles in their life. Nobody was disappointed in anything. Everybody got extra hugs yesterday. It was actually such a great day that everybody got a phone call that somebody was naming a baby after them. Everybody was just so encouraged. Everybody had words of affirmation yesterday. And it was just so wonderful. Everybody, except for maybe me and one or two others, had a good hair day. Yesterday and this morning, everybody found that missing $20 bill. It was in the dryer, right where you were hoping to find it. Everybody had a great day yesterday and a great morning today. I wish that was always true. It's amazing, though, that in Christ we actually have some days where it's just blessing upon blessing upon blessing that go remarkably well, and the Lord does spare us so many trials and troubles. But the reality is that in this life we do face a lot of trouble and a lot of trials, a lot of discouragement sometimes, of many kinds. And in the midst of those, we look to our Lord and Savior for hope. The band Jars of Clay, did some of you guys ever listen to them? I don't even know if they're still doing some music anymore, but they put out a wonderful album. They're a Christian band, and they put out an album that I really appreciated called Redemption Songs. And on that album, they did a lot of remakes of old Christian spirituals and different hymns, but they modernized it in their own way musically. One of the songs on that album that really blessed me was a hymn called God Will Lift Up Your Head. It's an old, old hymn. Anybody remember that? The Jars of Clay version or the hymn? Either one. It predates us all as far as when it was written. It's an old, old song. Well, This hymn that they remade, God Will Lift Up Your Head, we actually played it in part of the pre-service music earlier. Maybe you might have heard that, but it was written about 400 years ago by a German pastor named Paul Gerhardt. And during the time that Paul Gerhardt was alive, there was a war raging in Europe where he lived, in Germany. In Central Europe, it was known as the 30 Years' War. It's been 400 years ago now, so a lot of us, unless you're a student of history or study those things, you might not remember it. But in the 30 Years' War, anybody remember that? Any history geeks like me? Well, about 8 million people died. It was an incredibly destructive time and one of the most dark times in human history for Europe. There was famine. There was severe plague. There was the war itself. And not only like a lot of wars did you have these armies against each other in the land where these wars were taking place, but it was actually multiple nations and even armies just being hired to come in that had no stake in any of it. And it was horrific. It was just such a dark time. Well, it was during this period that Pastor Gerhardt and his family found themselves homeless and afraid. They had been run out of where they lived, and they found an inn where they could stay for a couple days just to seek shelter. And during this stay at this inn, Pastor Gerhardt's wife was very discouraged and was sobbing and just brokenhearted over the reality of their life. And so Pastor Gerhardt opened his Bible, and he sat down with his wife, and they went to the Scriptures, and they looked at passages that where God promised to be their provider, where God promised to care for them. And he encouraged his wife with these truths. But the reality is sometimes we're also just in our hearts, we're overwhelmed, and it's very difficult. And so after encouraging his wife, Pastor Gerhardt went outside into the evening, and there was a little garden next to this inn where they were staying. And he went out there and he just started weeping and crying out to God. And Pastor Gerhardt said it was during this time that he was crying out to God in his own despair that the presence of the Holy Spirit just overwhelmed him with a sense of hope, overwhelmed him with this sense of his presence, of the presence of God with him and with his family. And it was in this moment in this garden that he wrote this hymn, God Will Lift Up Your Head. I'd like to share with you a few lines from this beautiful hymn this morning. Pastor Gerhardt wrote, "Give to the wind your fear, hope, and be undismayed. God hears your sighs and counts your tears. God will lift up your head. He will lift up your head. Leave to his sovereign way to choose and to command. Then shall we, wandering on his way, know how wise and how strong, how wise and how strong. Through waves and clouds and storms, he gently clears the way. Wait, because in his time so shall this night soon end in joy." I have no doubt that most of you have experienced some dark nights in your life. I've experienced a wide variety. I think out of God's mercy and his plan for my life, a variety of dark times of despair, in order to learn his faithfulness and his strength. And I have learned in my experience, and I'm sure a lot of you have learned this as well, that when you come to these places in your life that seem very bleak, and you come to the end of your own strength, it's often then that you find more than any other time that God is faithful, that all of his promises are true, that you can trust in him, and if you will just wait on him and expect to experience his strength and his goodness, he's faithful. And he shows up time and time and time again that you can confidently expect to see God's goodness no matter what your circumstance in your life. G.K. Chesterton said, "Hope means hoping when things are hopeless or it is no virtue at all. As long as matters are really hopeful, hope is mere flattery or platitude. It is only when everything is hopeless that hope begins to be a strength. We need this wondrous divine hope that God offers us. We need it. And we can have that hope. The reason we can have that hope is because along with Paul, like he wrote in 2 Timothy 1:12, he said, I know whom I have believed. I know whom I have believed, that come what may, no matter what, we know the one we put our trust in. You know, near the close of a lot of our worship services lately, we often share a benediction. And that benediction, at least my intention for it, is to be a spoken prayer of blessing. That we pray this as we share this aloud together. We're praying in our hearts to our Father a blessing to those around us, to our brothers and sisters, for them. In this current sermon series that we've had, our blessing has been from the book of Romans, chapter 15, verse 13. And I'd like us to go ahead and share that. We're going to break protocol, and we're not going to wait till the end of service to pray for this blessing for each other. I'd like us to pray for this from our hearts, to pray this aloud right now as a blessing for each other this morning. So if you would, please, if you'd pray this from your heart for your brothers and sisters around you. May the God of hope fill you with all joy and peace as you trust in Him, so that you may overflow with hope by the power of the Holy Spirit. What a wonderful prayer for each other. Now, sometimes we have various notions of what certain words mean, and I just want to help us this morning to have what I think is a good biblical understanding of what the Bible means when it uses the word hope in this context. And I think that just a simple definition of hope here would be a confident expectation. A confident expectation, because our hope is in the Lord. We should be confident and expectant. So I'd like to, if we could, to say this prayer again. And we're going to substitute the words confident expectation here for the word hope. If you'd say this with me again, please. Let's pray this for each other. May the God of confident expectation fill you with all joy and peace as you trust in Him, so that you may overflow with confident expectation by the power of the Holy Spirit. By the power of the Holy Spirit. God is the God of hope. He is the God of hope. You know, just as He is the God of love, we know the Bible tells us God is love. And we know that. How many of you need His love? It's great to know that God is love, and we need His love. You know, God is also righteousness. I don't have any of my own, and I need His righteousness. He is the God of holiness. You know, we need the holiness of God. He is a God of joy, and we need His joy in our lives. He is a God of truth, and we desperately need the truth. In the same way, in His very nature, God is hope. And we need it. Just like every other attribute of God, there's no part of God that I'm willing to say, I don't need that. Lord, give me this, this, and this of Your attributes, of Your character, of who You are. But these things, I'm good. I don't need You in these ways, God. I don't want to go there ever. I need everything of Him, including the hope that He wants to give us. We need a confident expectation in the Christian life based on who He is. And it's remarkable for me to think about this, and I don't know that I ever had before I really started preparing for this message, but God is hopeful for us. He is full of hope for us. And I see that in His Word. You know, when you look at the plan of salvation that He has for us, that He had before we ever existed, this amazing plan. And think about what a hopeful thing this is in John 3:16 and 17. For God so loved the world that He gave His one and only Son, that whoever believes in Him shall not perish, but have eternal life. For God did not send His Son into the world to condemn the world, but that the world be saved through Him. That is an incredibly hopeful statement. That's an incredibly hopeful truth. Another example in Titus 2, 11 through 14, this great declaration of the hopefulness of God for his people. For the grace of God has appeared, bringing salvation to all men, instructing us to deny ungodliness and worldly desires, and to live sensibly, righteously, and godly in the present age, looking for the blessed hope and the appearing of the glory of our great God and Savior, Jesus Christ, who gave himself for us to redeem us from every lawless deed and purify for himself a people for his own possession, zealous for good works. I don't know if I were looking at us that I would have this hope for us, that this would be true for us. But God, because the hope that he has, the expectation he has, is based on who he is, on his nature, he can have this incredible hope for his people, that this would describe the reality of our lives. And God wants us to have this hope as well, this expectation that this is us, that the God of hope has provided salvation, he's provided strength and the power of the Holy Spirit to do his will. And he has this confident expectation that we would actually, in character, become more like Jesus. Isn't that amazing? That's incredibly hopeful and true. Our God is the God of confident expectation. May the God of hope fill you with all joy and peace as you trust in him, so that you may overflow with hope by the power of the Holy Spirit. May the God of hope fill you with all joy and peace as you trust in him. This morning I want us to recognize from the Word of God that trusting in him fills you with joy and peace. Trusting in him fills you with joy and peace as you trust in God. The Lord has provided this offer of salvation for everyone on the basis of faith, of trust in Jesus Christ. We talked about this weeks ago in Romans 3, 19 through 31. And salvation, this justification, this putting us right with God, this atonement for our sins, that the price has been paid, the Holy Spirit does this work of salvation in us and gives us eternal life. In Romans 8, 1 and 2, it tells us, therefore, there's no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus, because through Christ Jesus, the law of the Spirit gives life. Gives life. And it has set you free from the law of sin and death. And along with that, not only do we have in Jesus Christ and faith in him eternal life, but we are actually God's beloved children. Could there be a better reason to be joyful than to know that your sins are forgiven, you have the promise of eternal life, you are adopted as sons and daughters of God? You know, we have reason to rejoice as we put our trust in Jesus, knowing that all of sin and death that had a grip on us, we're free of it now. Because of his death and his burial and resurrection, we are free from the power of sin and death. We have joy in salvation. We have joy in the love that motivated that salvation. We have joy in his word. We have joy in the Lord's ways, which he guides us in. We have joy and peace in doing his will in our life. We have joy and peace in our life in the power of the Holy Spirit and his presence. We have joy and peace in the Lord in that he actually glorifies himself through us. We have joy and peace in him because of his grace that he gives us. We have joy and peace in knowing, and this is an amazing, stunning truth, that the Word tells us not only were we in rebellion to God at some point, like we were having a bad day, by our very nature, we were rebels. By our very nature, we were enemies of God, and he is now giving us, by grace through faith in Jesus, everlasting peace. Everlasting peace with God. Romans chapter 5, verses 1 and 2 tells us, therefore, since we have been justified through faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ, through whom we have gained access by faith into this grace in which we now stand. And we boast in the hope of the glory of God. May the God of hope, fill you with all joy and peace this morning as you trust in Him, so that you may overflow with hope by the power of the Holy Spirit. We need to recognize that this morning, this overflowing hope that God is offering us, it is by the power of the Holy Spirit. There's a lot of times I wish I could just, whenever I wanted to, kind of muster this. I could just go on my way and live my life and do what I wanted to do and didn't have to go to God for provision for this. But we can't make this happen for ourselves. It is in the power of the Holy Spirit. You know, just as we are sanctified, just as we are changed by the power of the Holy Spirit, it is the power of the Holy Spirit in us that allows us to actually have this confident expectation, this hopefulness that God has, for it to be overflowing in our lives, and it's only possible in God's power. It is a supernatural hope. It is a hope that even though the situation may not change, that whatever the trial is or the dark clouds in your life or the tribulation, those may linger for a time. But the hope that He gives is supernatural in power, and it is much greater than anything that we face. It's far superior to anything. It is a living hope, a vibrant hope in our souls. It's a powerful hope that we have. And like every good and perfect gift from our Father, He wants us to ask. He wants us to go to Him. He wants us to ask Him in the power of the Holy Spirit to make this a reality for us. That we need to ask Him, God, I have needs in my life, and I feel overwhelmed by some of the things I'm facing. And I need a supernatural provision of hope. So while we're breaking some protocol this morning, we did the benediction early. I'm going to go ahead and I just want to stop for a moment and I just want to pray for this for us, because I'm pretty sure that description of the perfect day that I started with, that none of us probably are having that time in our life, that we are facing some situations that seem overwhelming to us, maybe even seem like a 30-year war in our life, things that have lingered in our spirits maybe. And I just want to take a minute to ask for this gift from the Holy Spirit. Lord, we come to You right now admitting and confessing, Lord, that as much as we all like to look like we have everything together and we have victory in every area of our lives, God, we know that we often feel overwhelmed, that there are things in our life that when we hear the words of that hymn about the waves and the clouds and the storms, and we think, yeah, I've got those in my life. And so, Lord, we're asking right now by Your Spirit for Your glory in our life, God. We know that we have to receive this through faith. And so, God, I pray, give us the faith, Lord, to trust in You, that we would not only believe it because Your Word says so, God, but we would have a confident expectation in our spirits, God, that You are making a way for us. No matter what the obstacle, no matter what the war, the battle in our life, God, no matter what it is we're facing, just as that hymn said, that You are gently clearing away. Help us, God, to expect that and to receive that this morning, that in Your timing, if we will trust, and if we will ask, and if we will follow You, that whatever the darkness is, that it's going to end in joy. It's going to end in joy. So, Lord, we're asking for this in the power of your Spirit, Lord, that you would fill us to overflowing with this expectation, with this divine supernatural hope that can only come from you, God. We pray that for each one of us this morning in the strong name of Jesus. Amen. Our hope is because of who Jesus is. Our expectation, our confidence is in the Lord and not in ourselves. And I just want to say to you this morning that, you know, I have times in my life where I feel like I'm facing a struggle or an obstacle, and I'm doing everything I know. I'm reading the scriptures that seem pertinent to that, and I'm praying, and you wrestle with it, and you struggle, and you even come to a place sometimes where you just say, Father, are you for me today? Where you wrestle with that. And I just want to tell you, based on, if nothing else, the incredible evidence of the cross, he's radically for you. If we turn to him in admission and confession of our sins, first and foremost, if we just get the mess out of the way, let him deal with that, let him cleanse you. If we do that and approach him in faith, he will make a way. I like sports analogies. I like to think that in the game of life, I know it's not a game, but God will go to bat for me if I ask him. I don't have to, because I strike out way too often. But if I ask him to go up to the plate for me, whatever the situation, to come in on my behalf because he's my father, he will go to bat for me. I read a cute story about a man who was walking down the street, and he was going past a Little League baseball game. It was a beautiful afternoon, and he walked over to one of the dugouts, walking past, and there was a little boy standing there, and the man said, "Son, how's the game going for you? How's your team doing today?" And the little boy said, "Well, it's 18 to nothing. We're losing." And the man said, "Wow, I'm so sorry. You must be really discouraged. That's pretty rough." And the boy said, "Why would I be discouraged? We haven't even batted yet." You know, there are things in your life sometimes and in my life where it just seems like, you know what, it's 18 to nothing and I'm losing. Because of who God is in your life, you know what? You can confidently expect he can overcome 18 to nothing. One of the wonderful truths that you will find in Scripture, no matter where you turn, God always wins. He always wins. Always. Always. And as his sons and daughters, you are on his team. Doesn't mean it always goes the way you want it to, or that we do. You know, sometimes we have some rough innings, some very difficult innings. But in the end, he wins, always. And if you ask him, he'll give you the hope in those rough innings to keep going until the inning when he comes to bat for you. He hits home run after home run after home run. He never strikes out. He can score as many runs as needed. There's a wonderful promise we have in Scripture of a great victory that Jesus is going to have in this world. Sometimes the difficulties we face is because we live in a world full of rebellion against the Lord. That's part of the reason why things are so difficult sometimes. Because we're believers, we face obstacles in this life. We have a wonderful promise in Scripture. many places, I just encourage you, Matthew 24 and 25, but elsewhere, that Jesus is coming back. I think it's going to be very soon. And we have every reason to have a confident expectation that soon we will see him. And for us to be full of hope. And until he returns, though, we have his Holy Spirit in us, giving us all the joy and truth and guidance and strength and hope that we need. It's ours for the asking. I think this is a good place to end not only the message this morning, but to end this series in Romans. And I just want to encourage you again. I think you all probably get the point. I've been on it for a while now this morning. Entrust yourself to the Lord, whatever it is that has been a struggle. You know, he will make a way. And it may take a while, but in his timing, whatever it is, you can trust him. He's going to work in your life. His word tells us in everything, he's working for your good. In everything. Even those terrible 18 to nothing innings, he's working for your good. And for his glory. We're going to celebrate communion this morning. So, man, if you would come up. Yeah, Ralph and... Yeah, I'll go ahead and let me share this reading, and then Mark, you can come up too. 1 Corinthians chapter 11, verses 23 through 26. For I received from the Lord that which I also delivered to you, that the Lord Jesus, in the night in which he was betrayed, took bread, and when he had given thanks, he broke it and said, "This is my body, which is for you. Do this in remembrance of me." In the same way, he took the cup, also after supper, saying, "This cup is the new covenant in my blood. Do this as often as you drink it in remembrance of me. For as often as you eat this bread and drink this cup, you proclaim the Lord's death until he comes." I want to encourage you to take a few quiet moments before you come up this morning. The Bible does tell us to take communion seriously. Give the Holy Spirit time to speak to your heart. God knows that we're not going to come up here sinless this morning, but he wants us to come up blameless. And what that means is that whatever sin there is, because we all stumble and fall, we all sin sometimes, but whatever there is, take time to let the Lord speak to you about how he's going to deal with that in your life. And then as the Lord tells you that it's okay for you to come up, then you come on up and receive the bread and the cup.